This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We have got a lot to get through this afternoon on today's show. We're talking about the impact of social commerce. Undeniably, the coronavirus pandemic has expedited digital transformation here in Southeast Asia, and it's clear that having highly transformative technologies would improve Southeast Asia's economic competitiveness and society's well-being while ensuring inclusion and sustainability. So in order to keep up, how can SMEs stand out from the crowd? How can they improve their social commerce strategy? We are asking you here on the show this question: what social or e-commerce element do businesses need to improve on the most, and why? Options for you on Twitter are website or social media page, customer service, ads or marketing, or something else. Let us know. That is at BFM Radio on Twitter. And of course, the same question is posed to you over on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We've also got a bunch of experts lined up on the show to give us their opinions. Now, during the pandemic, businesses adapted by pivoting towards e-commerce. Firms embraced communication and teleconferencing tools, while schools offered online lessons via digital applications. Digitalization in Southeast Asia has further advanced e-commerce, data infrastructure, and digital banking. ASEAN governments have also been proactive in nurturing digital talents. E-commerce sales in Southeast Asia reached $62 billion, that's 260 billion ringgit, give or take, in 2020, and is predicted to increase by $100 billion within the next 4 years.
Yeah, so just taking a look at some of how some of the countries in this region are doing with their digital, you know, transformations. For example, Vietnam's digital economy is expected to reach $52 billion by 2025. It's a highly lucrative emerging market where e-commerce giants like Alibaba and Amazon are venturing into. E-commerce platform Tiki is Vietnam's biggest homegrown digital shopping platform. It initially launched as a digital bookstore and has evolved into offering a wide range of consumer goods like lifestyle, electronic products, and even started providing insurance solutions by partnering with AIA. Also, Indonesia, as part of achieving digital transformation, the Indonesian government hopes to nurture 9 million expert digital talents by 2030. For a start, the Communications and Information Ministry is awarding digital talent scholarships to citizens talented in the information technology field. And there's also support from the private sector, where Tokopedia inaugurated the AI Center of Excellence and the Tokopedia Academy to spur innovation and create a pool of technology talents in Indonesia.
The SAYA Digital Initiative here in Malaysia focuses on raising digital literacy amongst youth and senior citizens. This inclusive digital program is aligned with the Malaysian Digital Economy Blueprint and the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. During the program, there'll be digital skills training, including the learning of digital topics like e-wallets and e-banking. And Southeast nations hope to empower their citizens with the right digital skills and infrastructure and become a major player in the digital economy market. Now, it's clear that social commerce has become an integral part of business survival. In order to take a look at the social commerce scene in Southeast Asia, we've got a few experts on the line with us. First off, we've got Jan Wong. He's the founder of Open Minds Resources. We have Joris Krosa, CEO and founder of Omnichannel Solutions Provider Hatch. And Gwendolyn Lim, who is a partner at Bain & Company. All three of them on the line with us to shed some light on social commerce. Let's kick off with something simple then. What was the social commerce scene like pre-pandemic? Let's start off with you, Jan.
The interesting thing about social commerce is that it has always been around. In fact, going back all the way to even 1997, when Yahoo first introduced the digital wish list concept. 1997. And if you take a look at the definition of social commerce, social commerce is basically just using tools to help consumers find products and services, get advice, and then to finally make a purchase decision. Doesn't that sound like something that we've already been doing all this while? We just didn't know it's also called social commerce. So coming back to the question, how was it like pre-pandemic? Well, we weren't even aware that we are already part of social commerce. That goes to both businesses and consumers alike, which means the level of education on why, what, and how surrounding social commerce is really, really low.
Great. Thanks, Jan. How about you, Joris? Same question to you. What was the social commerce scene like pre-pandemic?
Yeah, so what was the social commerce scene like pre-pandemic? I think we don't really realize, but so many things have drastically changed really fast. I think when we look back, there's a really fast transformation going on. I think the adoption of contactless payments, digital payments, e-wallets and such is gone at an extremely fast pace. I think within sooner than we realize, I think we'll no longer use actual cash money. I think everything will be digital within a couple of years already. I think the delivery markets, home delivery, even traditional stores have adopted e-commerce business models, curbside pickup. They facilitate home delivery with their own delivery network. I think that the time spent on various social platforms in the US, by the average per day time spent on social platforms pre-pandemic was around 45 minutes a day, and during the pandemic that went up to 65%. So that's a massive increase. And also, what you see is that before the pandemic, it were mainly the younger age groups who engaged with social platforms. And I think that during the pandemic, perhaps due to social isolation, but a lot of elder age groups have also embraced social commerce and spend a lot of their time and also their e-commerce dollars on social commerce. The retailers have developed a lot of capabilities, and what you can also see is that the growth of social commerce was tremendous. In China alone drove 350 billion of e-commerce transactions through social commerce, and WeChat took 250 billion on its account from that, and US grew by 35% in 2021. So those are all incredible numbers. That if we just look back a couple of years in time, has been very, very significant.
Okay, same question for you, Gwendolyn. What was the social commerce scene like pre-pandemic?
Actually, even before the pandemic hit, social commerce had been coming up, especially in places like China and somewhat in Southeast Asia, whereby it was mainly in a nascent discovery stage, whereby people were looking on social commerce to discover new brands, discover new personalities related to those brands, and just really trying to see what the offering was like. However, it's nowhere near the penetration it is at today, and nowhere near the variety of sort of the stories that you can see or the kind of goods that are being advertised and sold on social commerce. So definitely you have seen a real big growth since the pandemic.
Excellent. That's a great start to the show. Folks, we're asking you what social e-commerce elements do businesses need to improve on the most and why. We are polling over on Twitter, asking that same question on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We'll try to get through as many messages as we can, but we do have a lot to go through. Song up first to take us into the break. It's Canned Heat with Let's Work Together here on BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're asking you the question, what social or e-commerce element do businesses need to improve on the most and why? We're polling on Twitter and on Instagram. And of course, that's at BFM Radio. And if WhatsApp, it's 018-789-8899. Why are we asking this question, Chris?
We're asking this question because of the issue of social commerce. Undeniably, the coronavirus pandemic has expedited digital transformation in Southeast Asia. So in order to keep up, we're wondering, how can SMEs stand out from the crowd? How can they improve their social commerce strategy?
Mm-hmm. We've got a few people on the line with us. We've still got Jan Wong. We've still got Joris Crosser and Gwendolyn Lim. I asked the first question. Chris, please.
Yeah, so thanks, guys, for staying on the line with us today. We'll start with Jan first for this. How did the pandemic affect the popularity of social commerce?
One thing for sure is that we were all forced online, locally, globally, all the same. And because of that, businesses have very little choice. No matter how resistant they were with the idea before the pandemic happened, they now have no choice but to go online, adapt to it, just to find some sort of a survivability for their business. For consumers, it has also become a requirement and norm simply because there's no other way to get the goods and to do your shopping. The result of those things? A boom in social commerce. But it's not that simple as it sounds like. It's actually a combination of three things working together that affected the popularity of social commerce. Number one is the increase of time spent on social channels. I think a lot of us can relate to this. We're spending more and more time on social channels, especially when we were still locked at home. Number two is also the increase of content consumption. Now, as we spend more time on social channels, that means we also spend a lot more of our time consuming content, from videos to images to GIFs to articles, just content in general. Globally, we have seen a huge increase without any form of segregation. And thirdly, it's also the herd mentality in jumping on the social commerce bandwagon as both the business and consumer. For businesses, they're exposed to more tools, more knowledge on social commerce. Many people are talking about it, they're going on it. And from consumers' end, there are a lot of new users, many excited users. Many users, they're also finding it very interesting to be participating in social commerce activities, and therefore these three things actually made social commerce soar in its popularity.
Okay, what are your thoughts, Joris? How did the pandemic affect the popularity of social commerce?
I think, I think social commerce has quickly became mainstream because of a lot of pandemic-driven reasons. Social commerce offers extremely accessible routes to market with a different branded experience compared to traditional B2C. It's much more driven on the experience and the branding itself, but at the same time allows for making e-commerce transactions as well. So that path to purchase is very direct, and also brands have the ability to receive instant feedback from consumers. I think, as mentioned before, that many new age groups have also embraced social commerce and social platforms, driven by social distancing and a bit of isolation. That was their only kind of way to stay in touch with the outside world. So that that gives brands a much bigger audience to reach. I think the purchase journey within social platforms is significantly simplified compared to traditional e-commerce, because there's much less transaction. There's no alternative products. There's just this very intuitive path to purchase, often with a one-click checkout. And also, I think what helps social commerce is the peer validation, because your friends, family, like-minded people will make recommendations, likes, posts, share their own feed. So that helps to make a more confident buying decision. And lastly, I think, the combination of the developments that I've explained make it an excellent opportunity for brands and retailers to explore this new e-commerce channel. So I think that's what changed and why social commerce became so popular.
How about you, Gwen? What are your thoughts on this?
During the pandemic, we definitely saw the usage of social commerce skyrocket through the roof, both as a way to keep in touch with friends, as a way to see the world outside your own neighborhood or country that you couldn't travel to, or just trying to see what else was out there. So again, the pandemic really created an environment where people were going on social commerce with the mindset to want to learn, to want to explore, which is then makes them a perfect, venue for being reached out to on social commerce in terms of trying to explore, discover, buy new things.
So let's look at some statistics. Now, a recent report by Google stated that 400 million of the 580 million population living in Southeast Asia's six largest economies are online. Why do you think social commerce has seen such a boom in Southeast Asia specifically? Joris, you first, please.
Yeah, so why specifically in APEC is in Southeast Asia is social commerce so popular? That's a very good question. I'm not a true expert specifically on the APEC region, but I think there's a couple of drivers behind this trend. I think more specifically in Southeast Asia, people are seeking convenience and value with anytime and anywhere access. And I think mobile is really the key device used for Asians to engage with e-commerce. If you look at the time spent per day by the average person, I think it's accounts for a lot of hours. And I think the specifically social media on mobile is thriving opposed to traditional e-commerce and marketplace websites. So that explains part of the growth. Also, what I think helps is that there's a lot of emerging markets where people have seen tremendous increase in disposable income, which drives growth in general, and also not just in the amount of transactions, but also the average value of a purchase. And also, what I think what plays a role is the work ethics and the long working days, which basically keep people in the office during regular hours. Perhaps that urges a kind of need for more convenient ways of shopping. And social commerce is very quick and effective in that way. Those, I think, are the key drivers for the for specific popularity of social commerce in Asia.
Okay, let's hear the response from you, Gwendolyn, please.
Well, for Southeast Asia specifically, when people are coming online for the first time as a digital consumer, or when they are actually thinking of expanding the type of categories that they buy online, they really look to friends, families, and also very interestingly, influencers, to really think about, one, what can they buy online? Two, discovery of what are the different brands out there and what's the better brand. And three, just interacting with others in the community who may have purchased the product and are contributing, feedback to how the product works. So in that way, again, because people were spending a lot more time on social commerce, on social sites, it's then the discovery process was occurring then. And I think also in the new work from home environment, people also had more time to do this exploration. So that is why we see the boom.
Mm. Jan, your thoughts, please.
Oh, yeah, that number is actually no surprise at all. I mean, after all, Asia or Southeast Asia has one of the fastest growth in mobile penetration globally, with one of the highest level of mobile literacy when it comes to mobile usage. We are pretty much a collection of mobile-first countries that takes after our bigger Asian brothers like Indonesia and China, where the usage of mobile is considered priority over web usage. Plus, we also have countries in Southeast Asia that literally skipped the entire web platform generation and went directly into mobile because of infrastructure limitations and how it's far more accessible today compared to before. This means social commerce just makes sense for us. It just makes sense for all of us as Southeast Asia. It is considered pretty much as something that's culturally appropriate with no big major predecessors preventing us from going full-fledged or full force into mobile or social commerce.
All right. Well, stay on the line for a little bit, guys. We do have to take a short break. That was Jan Wong, founder of Open Minds Resources, Joris Krosa, CEO and founder of Omnichannel Solutions Provider, Hajin Gwendolyn Lim, partner at Bain & Company. They'll stay with us throughout the show. But for now, here's Girl from Mars by Ash on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise BizBytes. It's about halfway through the show. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're talking about social commerce. We're asking you a question of what social and e-commerce elements do businesses need to improve on the most? The reason we're talking about that is because Southeast nations hope to empower their citizens with the right digital skills and infrastructure and become major players in the digital economy market. It's clear that social commerce has become an integral part of business survival. We've got a whole bunch of people waiting for us on the lines to get onto our next set of questions. But so far, when we take a quick look at Twitter, the numbers are interesting. 80% of you are saying that businesses need to improve their customer service. Mm. 18.6% of you saying the website or the social media page, and with 1.4% of you saying something else, not really going on to explain what that something else is. Interestingly, though, 0% of you have said on their ads or marketing. However, in the comments on Twitter, it says, from Ninja W, demonstrate similar quality as to what you see when you visit the shop. Honest price and stop spamming with adverts. So there you go. Nothing over on Instagram as of yet, but what we'll do is we'll move swiftly along and pick up where we left off with our guests. If you're only just tuning in, we have Jan Wong, founder of Open Minds Resources, Joris Krosa, the CEO and founder of Omnichannel Solutions Provider Hatch, and Gwendolyn Lim, a partner over at Bain & Company. They're all on the line. Let's move on to the next question then. The question, Chris, do you want to pick this up?
Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for holding on the line with us today. Do some industries or sectors benefit more from social commerce than others, or is it a totally level playing field? Let's start with you, Gwen.
I would say it's definitely not a total level playing field. There are definitely sectors, you know, such as electronics, which were already pretty big on online before the pandemic hit. So for those industries where people were already comfortable buying online, you didn't see as much of an impact from social commerce. However, for industries whereby, you know, the word of mouth, seeing people use a product via, you know, Instagram stories or via TikTok, all of those whereby there was some level of interaction or some level of seeing the product being used. So I would say things like makeup, things like health and beauty, apparel, all of those definitely benefited from social commerce, whereby it was a lot more about interaction and people giving you their commentary on the product. Another industry that you have seen it really benefit in is also toys, whereby you have children and parents giving reviews on different toys. So again, definitely not a level playing field.
Okay. What are your thoughts on this, Jen?
Oh, I love this question very much. It reminds me of the days when people were asking if specific industries benefited from social media or if social media levels the playing field. Look how that played out today. Social media did level the playing field and has become a platform for so many new brands to supersede even the bigger legacy ones. Likewise with social commerce. But there'll be a small twist to it. Don't get me wrong. Social commerce is still a tool or an opportunity to level the playing field because social commerce thrives on the social element, which means literally any individual or brand can do it. If you think about it, influencer marketing is social commerce. Reviews on marketplaces are social commerce. Promoting your product and services on social media is social commerce. However, the twist is such that it's because social commerce will benefit from an existingly strong social presence, industries and sectors that have been doing well on social media will have an opening advantage over new brands. And this is not because they have the money, but more so if they have been actively engaging their audience, they have been really tapping into their social networks, this would give them a starting advantage over the others.
Okay. And Joris, how about you? What do you think?
Yes, are there specific verticals that benefit most from the social commerce trend? I think the brands or the products that benefit most are the ones that are most affected by sort of social status, where influencers, peer groups, but also friends, can make a statement with an item. And I think, that there the social peer pressure is the highest because people want to belong to a certain group and carry out a certain image. So wherever that's important, and I think that then you're talking specifically about verticals like fashion, beauty, luxury, cosmetics, those kind of industries I think will benefit most.
Well, let's talk about brands pivoting and moving online. A lot of businesses were forced to go online simply because of the pandemic, but not all were able to make that transition as smoothly as others. What common mistakes are made in implementing a social commerce strategy? Jan, you first, please.
Well, I wouldn't call them mistakes exactly. but there are plenty that contributed to a wrong strategy. This will take a while, but I'll just quickly name three. Number one, jumping on social commerce without a plan or without having any idea what is it all about. You are just following a trend because everybody's talking about it, you are on it. Some believe it's just e-commerce, some believe it's just live streaming, some believe it's just a smarter way of doing ad buying. But what if I told you it's none of the above, but all of the above and more? And number two, many also place all their eggs into a single basket, for example, going all out on just live streaming alone, and gave up because it just didn't work. But did it not work because it's a product mismatch? Or is it your content? Or is it you missing the social component in building your audience prior and after? And three, there are also a lot of wrong expectations to how social media should work and would work for your business. You'll be very surprised. Even for businesses that says that, yes, I understand and I know that there won't be immediate sales, it takes some time, and they try to rationalize their way out of it, they still expect immediate sales. And if they don't get it, they get disappointed, maybe even angry, when their ads and all their effort does not convert. Truth is, consumers don't go online to spend money. And these are the three very common reasons and observations of why social commerce strategy typically fails within a business.
Joyce, over to you. What common mistakes do you think are made in implementing a social commerce strategy?
Yeah, so the pandemic forced many businesses to go online and especially also explore social commerce. But yeah, there's a lot of things that that can wrong. And I think, yeah, common mistakes are, of course, first and foremost, that there are very mature players in the market who have an extremely efficient marketing machine and department and budgets as well, with completely measured funnels and calculations to assess whether a campaign is successful or not, and they really have the tools in place to optimize for performance. So yeah, sticking your toes in there and spending your marketing budget alongside these so-called whales is difficult in general. But on top of that, yeah, traditional stores or perhaps less mature, digitally evolved players have to implement the strategy, and it comes by trial. So I think by doing it, you'll experience it, and through that experience, you'll face errors and things will go wrong. So I think it will be a costly exercise, costly learning path in general. And I think what's important to have a strategy, to have a clear target group and tailored message that appeals to this target group, and also to use the right social influencers that fit the brand and the product. And of course, there's also specific possibilities and opportunities within each social platform, tools, so to speak, with functionality that you'd have to understand to use it in the right way. And what's very important, of course, is to measure results. And I think making mistakes and paying some learning money is not bad, but you need to know why and be able to see that. And that allows you to basically spend your money where it's most effective and stop other experiments which are not successful. So those are all kind of things that help you make a successful social campaign.
Finally, Gwendolyn, same question for you. What common mistakes do you think are made in implementing a social commerce strategy?
I think the first very common mistake is to not think about who are your target customer segments when it comes to social commerce. Again, is social commerce does appeal to some target segments, but not others. By not tailoring the message, tailoring the content, tailoring the discovery process, bringing in, you know, external parties such as influencers where necessary. So just trying to replicate what was done offline and putting that online, that was where we saw some of the most common mistakes. if you know who is your target customer segment, really reaching out to those target customer segments with the right content, with the right influencer if necessary, that would actually be what we say is a strong social commerce strategy.
Wonderful. Guys, can you please stay on the line for us, please? We've just got a few more questions when we come back that we're going to wrap up with before we finish the show. But of course, we are asking you guys at home, what social or e-commerce element do businesses need to improve on the most and why? Let us know. The polls are still coming in. The numbers are still coming in. It's at BFM Radio over on Twitter. And if you want to answer us over on Instagram, you can get over there too. And of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. To take us into the break, Fleetwood Mac with You Make Loving Fun here on BFM 89.9.
Brand Friendly Marketeers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, folks. We are asking you, what social or e-commerce element do businesses need to improve on the most and why? We're polling over on Twitter. The numbers so far, 80% of you are saying customer service, 18.6% of you saying website or social media page. A couple of tweets that we've had so far. Taufik Rahim has said, what you see on the website is what you get in the package as per the specifications, the dimensions and the functionality. After sales services, return policies, one-to-one and not same value voucher. Good points. Thank you very much for all of those. We still have a few minutes left if you want to keep polling, but we should probably move on because our guests have been very patient with us and we need to get through the rest of these questions before we wrap up the show.
Yes. So our question for our guests, our next question for our guests today is what makes a strong social commerce strategy? We'll start with Doris here.
I think there's not one answer that that applies to all brands and retailers. But like I said before, I think it's important to use the right platform, the right medium, the right influencers, the right tone of voice, the right creative to reach and appeal to your target audience. And I think those are questions you have to ask yourself. How can I reach the people that typically buy my products or perhaps also new target audiences? But and then make a selection of the influencers that have affinity with your brand and use the right platforms, target the right age groups. And what you see a lot is phrases such as swipe to purchase or store link in the bio, those kind of call to actions on social, push social media users to purchase items that they see advertised in your campaigns. And I think also the quality of user generated content is very important for marketeers, so that viewer friendly content can be combined with the appropriate call to action, which is then a booster for your commerce sales.
Jan, your thoughts?
Oh, to answer this question, there are essentially five ways to this. I would say five steps to look into building a strong social commerce strategy. Number one, it's very important. It's often said over and over again, but hey, know your audience. And I don't mean just knowing them on a demographic level. Take time to understand what interests them, what challenges they are going through, what kind of behavior are they demonstrating online, and what the lifestyle they are they living on right now. Are there any problems that you can solve? Are there any goals you're planning to achieve? Number two, start creating valuable content. When I say valuable, that does not mean buy one free one or 50% off, right? Yes, pricing could be valuable, but value today can also mean entertainment value, something that inspires them, something that helps them solve a particular problem, helps them overcome certain challenges, help them feel better about themselves, fits that FOMO emotion and feeling that they are getting on a daily basis on social media. Number three, also take time to find the right delivery. Ask yourself, based on your audience and the content you like to create, which channel and media will be able to help you amplify your content better. And with that, number four, have the right team, support, and setup. Think about it. Who will be sharing the content? Who will be the front man, the ones doing the live stream? Who are the ones being able to curate the content or responding to comments and responding to inquiries? You see, some of the most successful social media strategies often spend a lot of time engaging their followers, even when there are no sales. They see it through because social commerce
is all about social. And last but not least, number five, invest in remarketing. It takes more than one campaign to succeed. So that means that you need to always find ways to follow up, find ways to engage again, be it adding your customers or audiences into groups, emailing them, following up through WhatsApp, or even spending on ads to retarget them again.
And Gwen?
One is really understanding what is the role of social commerce in a more holistic online or omni-channel strategy. Is social commerce really about the discovery process, which we see a lot very often? Is social commerce also helping people understand, once they've discovered what they want to buy, which brands to choose between? So the evaluation process. Social commerce usually doesn't have as much of a role to play at the current time when it comes to actually closing the purchase of the product or thinking through returns policy. So again, knowing where social commerce plays in the whole online purchasing pattern is very important for successful strategy. Second thing that's really important is really understanding who will social commerce reach out to and speak to best. Again, comes back to target customer segments. Is it for, you know, your younger millennials that will be, you know, searching online on social commerce or more active on social commerce? Is it for, you know, even within younger millennials, you know, people who are gamers, people who are more fashion fanatics, people who are makeup goers? So really understanding the target customer segment and what are the reasons they're going on social commerce for, and then really matching that to your product or to your brand, that will be most important.
Wonderful. Thanks for your patience. But I've got one final question before we do wrap up. And it's, how can a business utilize social media, especially to build customer loyalty and improve their customer service, I guess? Let's start off with you, Jan.
Wow. This is a huge topic in itself. But in short, customer loyalty is really hard to come by these days. Now, let's be honest, when was the last time we made a purchase from a specific brand disregarding other offers, opportunities, benefits, and value others can offer? Especially in a time today where we are presented with countless options and so many different alternatives and substitutes that are available out there, so easily discoverable and searchable just by entering a few keywords. Truth is, as customers, we love having options. And loyalty is only great if I'm be able to be rewarded in some way, some different ways that is able to feed the self-gratifying part of me. Which means, instead for brands, instead of using social media for loyalty, it's actually more beneficial and important to focus on building continued interest instead. Ask yourself, what can you do to keep the customers hooked? How can you show them more content? How can you get them more involved? The best way to answer and understand these questions is to first examine your customer journey and all the relevant marketing and sales touch points. Are customers stuck somewhere on this customer journey? Can you improve this experience? Can you deliver more? Can you be more accessible in providing your products and services? As you spend time working your way through the answers, you'll then be able to find if social media or any other tools will be able to help you achieve those goals better, be it CRM, be it automation, be it chatbots, be it self-serve platforms, and all of these actually contribute to social commerce.
Jari, same question for you, please.
Social is extremely important in customer engagement, and it offers very powerful tools for brands to engage. It's about, in the end, connecting with your audience, and that's the so-called earned base of users that follows, subscribes, likes your brand, and basically, they're in touch with you. So that's an excellent opportunity to communicate and share your story and messages with your owned media or consumer base. And then that using the tools that the various platforms offer will help you reach these users which are connected with you. I think what's very powerful as well is the live selling, where consumers can unite with their peers and friends to have an a communal shopping experience, and also user generated content with peers that write about your product or brand, which is then shared again with other peers. I think that's also a very strong form of engagement that helps you develop success in social commerce.
Finally, Gwendolyn, let's hear from you. Final question, please.
What is amazing about social media is about how democratic it is. And from social media, it's a really wonderful way to interact with your customers on a very close basis. You can do that either through chat. You can do that by, having influencers that are connected to your brand who can then interact with customers. Really, social media is a wonderful way to get unfiltered customer feedback, either on your product, on your sales process, on how you're positioning yourself. And in that way, if you're able to interact with your customers on a very intimate basis where they feel like they're interacting with you on a one-on-one basis, and they really feel that you're taking their feedback into account and trying to improve the brand, the product, the sales process as per their guidance, that will then actually really lead to an uptick in the loyalty and in terms of the customer service.
That's great. Guys, thank you so much for all of your input today. That was Jan Wong, founder of Open Minds Resources, Joris Kruse, the CEO and founder of Omnichannel Solutions Provider Hatch, and Gwendolyn Lim, partner over at Bain & Company, all on the line with us to shed some light on social commerce. Final numbers over on Twitter, almost 80% of you saying customer service was the big thing that you were most bothered about. But thank you very much for tuning in. We've got to wrap up, but don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. They discuss the possible pandemic trajectory in Malaysia with Dato' Professor Dr. Adiba Kamarul Zaman, Professor of Medicine and Infectious Diseases at University of Malaya. And if you have an interest in the future of finance, join me over on FB Live at the BFM Facebook page, where we're talking all about the future of finance in a webinar. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.